Good morning and welcome to 101.9, your favorite station, Chai FM. The time is now 9 and 11 minutes. The day today is the 26th day.
26th day already, nearly the end of the month.
The end of the year. That's it. We're talking January, now it's September, tomorrow December, and that's it. Am I right?
And your life's gone.
Now, nine months ago, we calculated. So yesterday was all the famous people. First of all, I want to introduce, today we go with us Simi Aref.
Yay.
Simi Aref. Hey. I said your name right.
Yes, you did.
Aref. So Simi Aref is a stand-up comedian, apparently quite successful.
Thank you.
Apparently, very nice guy, I must say. A young man, and we have to give him all the support. And you know, in my show, I always support all the stand-up comedians, whoever was here, the Goliath Brothers, whatever I support. And this guy really looks like a shining star.
Thank you.
He's going to appear in the Sentence Theatre. How do you call it?
Theatre on the Square.
Auto and General Theatre on the Square. He's going to be there tonight. Till Sunday.
Yeah, no, tonight, Friday night, and Saturday night.
Okay, yeah. So tonight, Friday night, and Saturday night, and you have to see show. We have to support the local funny guy. I'm calling you funny man, but it's not actually a funny
guy.
We have to support this local talent. I'll tell you why, guys. The situation in South Africa is not the greatest ever been. And it's getting, I'm not gonna say it's getting worse.
It's not getting better.
It's not getting better. It's not getting better, but
nice.
Those people making us happy. Support them. They're not taking so much. It's $150. $150 is like a couple of gums. Yeah.
If we will stop support them, they will disappear, and we'll talk about it a bit later.
100%.
So it's very important.
Thank you. It's very, very important
to support them. They're really young people. They try to do. They try to make us laugh. They're trying to give us some sort of a hope for life. For my opinion, like Charlie Chaplin, the greatest Charlie Chaplin says, "A day without a laugh is a day not worth living." So, guys. We've got with us Simi Aref. Simi Aref will be my guest for today. That's number one. So what we discussed yesterday, Simi, I don't know, but I'm going to hear your input as well. So yesterday we had all the famous people was born. So first of all, Will Smith, Michael Douglas.
I don't know if you know the man. Yeah, no, I do know.
Will Smith, I'm sure you know. Michael Douglas.
His wife as well.
I mean, one birthday. Would you believe? About 31 years difference. What I mean is?
A lot.
Like 25, 26 years.
A couple of generations.
How did he manage? He's not like the prettiest guy. And she's...
Money, my friend.
But she wasn't born either. Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Oh, Catherine Zeta-Jones. Oh, they're still married.
Of course.
She's married.
Yes, they are.
I don't know. Maybe Jewish people are just good in bed.
They've had a rocky relationship. It's been on and off.
I've got rocky relations. It's been on and on.
Not on and on. My whole show is about rocky relationships.
You're speaking to the love guru. Are you married?
No, not at all.
Some people are like, I don't want to talk to you anymore.
He's an expert on marriage, but he's not married.
Expert on love. Not the marriage part of it.
So we came up with the idea like this. I mean, everybody was like born. Everybody was born that time.
Yeah.
And yesterday
date was the 25th of September.
Yeah.
So and we went back 9 months.
What happened 9 months before?
It's January 25th.
No.
December 25th.
December 25th. Christmas.
So on Christmas Eve, most probably all the parents, especially on the northern side of the world, it's cold.
Yeah.
So under the bed on these warm bodies and they're making babies. I decided that's why. Yeah. So,
good for them.
Good for us. I mean, we've got Michael Douglas, we've got this. I mean, do you think Kirk Douglas? He's like 103 now. How old is Kirk Douglas?
Must be over 100. Still with us, Kirk.
Kirk Douglas is over 100.
103? Yeah, Moshe says 100. Moshe knows him from kindergarten.
Yeah, with Jesus.
From creche. Yeah, he was with him together. Moshe, him and Jesus together.
Yeah, them, Jesus, show, Moses.
Right? So anyway, we've got with us our normal team. First of all, we've got Liel Rimon. From 96 Central Drive, running really a most beautiful establishment. Telephone number is 011-884-0000. If anybody needs anything, must contact Liel, at 96 Central Drive. And Liel is with us. Then we've got with us our famous, what are you? No, I'm joking.
What am I?
We've got our blogger and South Africa's best movie critic. We've got, Peter Feldman with us. Thank you for coming, Peter. And we've got with us as well, Moshe Starograd.
Good morning.
What are you doing here? No, I'm joking. He's a Tottenham supporter. He's a Tottenham supporter and we have to say something bad about soccer. We've got him. Yeah. So, yeah. And we've got with us, Simi Aref. So first of all, thank you for coming to our
thank
show.
Thank you so much, guys. It's actually a very nice vibe inside of here.
Yeah,
I
thank
like,
you.
It was very, very cool. It was very cool. I feel like I'm hanging out with my friends that I've just met, though. But it's very nice.
That's how we like to roll. Listen, we like... We like to laugh. We love to have
Roy
people
says,
like
Roy says that if I need anything, I should phone you. But what does anything pertain to?
Anything mean money.
Anything mean money. Okay.
What we do, what we do in this business of ours.
Yeah.
So, we lend money.
Okay.
But not really like in a bad way.
Can I take my mother to your pawn shop?
Yes.
No. Only a wife's
Roy,
mother.
Are very critical about bringing their mothers or their girlfriends?
No, no. Only a wife's mother you can't bring to the pawn shop.
No, I want to take...
Your mother is great, but...
No, my mother is great, but she got two new hip replacements, so I want to see how much I can get for those.
For the old ones.
So you don't need to bring your mother. Bring the hips.
Yeah. But she must tell us the story.
You have to, yeah.
She's got to tell us a story about her hips. What if you don't believe me? I'm like, these are old hips. How old are they?
Where did you take it from? How did you get those ones?
Yeah.
So, Sammy, what do you talk about normally?
So, my show is called Love and Other Jokes. So, the show is basically written about my love life over... I mean, I'm 31 years old, so as long as I've been seeing women.
31 years.
It's not that old, you know?
And I'm married for 34 and a half years. I mean, 31 years.
How do you do it? I can't be with a person for more than 3 months. How are you doing this?
Me too.
But look at him.
Yeah, he's got a six pack. You can see a guy that works out every single day.
No, you need to grind your teeth.
I'm running away from my wife.
Grind your teeth and keep on going forward with your head in the wall and nothing can stop you. That's the only way.
So I wrote my show loosely on my love life, and it's a very good show. I think out of all the shows I've done, and this is my fourth one-man show, I think this is the best one I've written. I've got a musician on stage with me now, so what we do is once I share a love story, I ask the audience to share a love story, and you get someone that's keen to tell us a love story, and then we actually make a song together, myself and the musician.
Oh, amazing.
So you
interact with a
lot in this show. I do a lot of audience interaction in this show.
Why do you find, is it better to perform against when people sitting in a crowd like in a theater, or do you think it's better when they have like a meal and they sit like in
I like it just in a theater. In fact, I don't like any food like being served. I'm a very picky performer.
Really?
An extremely picky
performer. You don't go to the Parker Theater?
I do go to Parker's. I am booked for Parker's because I have to earn money somehow. But if you ask me, if I go to a place and they say, can we serve food while you perform? My answer is generally no a million times.
Really?
Yeah.
So if you get hecklers and you know, all staff.
All the time.
How do you deal with it? And do you think ahead? You've got to be fast on your feet. Can you deal?
It's
all experience, I'm sure.
Yeah, well it is, but I'm very quick at my feet. And also I'm very well read. I read a lot. So I've got a BA, LLB in honors in journalism.
Oh, sounds
good. And so it's very hard for someone to say something these days. I've always had it, and I tend not to be as mean as I used to be in my early 20s.
You should.
I think your mother now sitting with the new hips and saying, hey, he's wasting his time. This
should have been a doctor.
Every single day. Every single day.
Sammy, how
did
it actually start? Where were you at school? And
I was back home in Durban. And
another Durban night. Right?
Yeah. I came up to Joburg to see a girl nonetheless. And she took me to live stand-up comedy. I was 17 at the time. And then I went back home to Durban. It took me about a year and a bit. I was 18 or so, and there was an open mic at campus. And I decided to try stand-up for the first time. And there happened to be a comedian there who booked shows. And then he kept on booking me. And the next thing, I was opening for like John Flismas and all these other acts. And then, I was working a lot. And, I got into radio back then. I was on East Coast Radio. I was producing.
Oh, but we better.
Yeah, 100%. And then I came to Joburg to do more comedy, and then it just kept on going. I never thought that I'd be a comedian. I'm very fortunate in the sense that I got allowed to be a comedian.
Tell you something with comedians. I think everybody's got some sort of comedy inside him. It's just to find the angle, number one. But the main thing in comedians is to know how to perform in front of a crowd. You know, it's the biggest fear of a person.
Yeah,
is
so
to perform.
I generally tell people, I tell them off stage, I'm not the funniest human being off stage. I'm a very
quite a serious guy.
Yeah, I am. I enjoy being quiet. I'm extroverted with my friends, of course, but when I meet new people, I'm very much like this. I'm very quiet and I keep to myself. I keep to myself.
Yeah.
You know, Sibi.
Yes, Moshi.
But to say is that usually very good comedians in real life are very sad people.
I would say yes. I used to say no to that answer a lot, but I the best comedy I've written is when I've been incredibly sad. Incredibly, incredibly sad and incredibly vulnerable and incredibly insecure. That's the time I've written my best comedy.
Yeah, because laughing about yourself. But
also that being said, Roy, is like when I'm in a new relationship and when I'm incredibly happy, I will write some really, really good, like, whimsical type of jokes, like stuff that doesn't really matter.
Give us an example.
So like I wrote this silly one about an Uber driver. So I had an Uber driver fetch me and his name was Blessing, right? And I told him I have the most excellent marketing plan for him. And he said, what's that? I said, next time you go fetch someone, right, wear a mask. And when they walk to the Uber and they open up, they say Blessing. And then you take the mask off and you go, in disguise. You know, it's like that's like simple and silly, but like that's nothing like my saddest stuff, which is much longer and deeper and layered, and the feeling comes out and the punchline is very, there's a lot of tension before the punchline. And so like I do that, but also what happiness does to me as an artist, it makes me stop working. When I'm happy and I've just started to fall in love with a person, I'll cancel a show. You could book me for a lineup and I will tell you, you know what, Roy, I'm going to be there. What time is the show? 8 o'clock. I'm there at 7 o'clock. I put my phone off at 6:30. You'll never find me.
Yo, that's terrible.
I'm in love. I want to cuddle with this person.
So what are you saying is you're unprofessional?
Yeah. Yeah, when I'm in love, definitely I'm unprofessional.
Wow, so you better hope that you're not in love too often otherwise. Yeah,
not at all.
Bugger up your
you must understand I'm 31 now, and in my community that's like 387 years old. You know? So it's like
you should have at least two wives in this community.
And three kids. That's what I should have at least. And they should be 18.
I 31. What a nice age.
Really, when did the money start coming in, Roy? Between 31 and 35.
I'm still waiting.
You don't know. Ask his wife.
Oh, wow.
That's when you can ask when the money starts going out. Guys, anyway, please join us. Join us in SMSs, WhatsApps, whatever. Telegram us. 061-895-1019. SMS 34519. You know what South Africa needs? Let me tell you, do you remember Jose Feliciano? Do you remember him?
Yeah, I remember him.
So he said, give us the rain. He prayed for forgiveness. And we're back. Thank you so for being with us. The time is on 9:26 minutes. We're here with Simi RF.
Yay.
our Telegram
our
number.
Love guru.
Our love guru. Please.
Our love guru.
Tell them.
061-895-1019. That's our Telegram number. SMS to 34519. It'll cost you $1.50. And, Simi.
Yes.
So you talk about love, you talk about girlfriends, boyfriends, whatever it's in between, and give us just an uncut piece.
It's weird for me to just do a piece off stage because specifically in this show the jokes are much longer. But I know that I do.
You're a storyteller.
Yeah, I always tell people that I enjoy telling a long story compared to telling short jokes. Like, so like the Uber thing that I did is like something that's incredibly short.
But and it's inside the story.
So it's tougher for me to do, but I can tell you about, where the show comes from and how I developed it. Yeah. So I was with a girl for like 5 years.
Ooh.
And then, I decided not to be with her for a couple of months. And when I realized like, oh no, it's time for, I want to settle down now. I went to her and I was like, I'm ready to get married.
Ooh.
And she said, she has a new boyfriend.
Oh, that's nice.
And I was like,
she saved you, but
and I was like, after 2 months. And she's like, yes. And I was like, oh, okay. And then, I found out from my friend that she was getting married that November. So it was like, within a space of 6 months, this
nice
person.
School.
Yeah, very nice. And then the baby came out in, February, and then we were all mathematicians at that moment. We were like, okay, cool, hold on. February, January, December, November, hold on, November's when you got married. Hold on, babies aren't made in 4 months. Then you start going, oh, that's why. that type of stuff. And then, but I was incredibly hurt, incredibly sad from the situation and stuff. So
you should be happy.
I am. Now I'm very happy. You know them.
Bro, you don't have this experience because you've been married all your life.
Yeah, 34 years, bro.
Every time you talk about it, I want to cry.
And now I'm just
that
like
that was his bar mitzvah present.
Was getting married.
Yeah.
Wow.
Listen, dude.
Wow, bro. So like, but now I'm like, I'm in a great mental space, and like, I'm super happy. And like, I've met some incredibly wonderful people that I've shared some incredible moments with, and I wouldn't have done that if I was.
Do you want to listen to a true story? True story. So we walk into this bar overseas, mm-hmm. and you know, I don't come from South Africa, so we walk in, myself and my wife, to this bar overseas, and we both happy, and we went to drink. We saw this drunk guy, drunk, happy. Yeah. My wife says, you know this guy? He offered me marriage.
Wow.
35 years ago, before you. I said,
should have said yes.
Look at him now. Look at him. He's drunk. He's not... The guy's still celebrating.
Simi, do you stick to a script? Do you write a script, or is it spontaneous?
For me, it's very spontaneous, specifically in this show, because in the show I get to go into different other people's stories and I get to make jokes.
So
there.
If they come up with a subject, you able?
Oh,
to
yeah, I like it. Yeah,
I love it.
I love it. I did the show in Cape Town, and a girl said a guy had broken up with her because she had become vegan. And he broke up with her at a braai. And I found that incredibly funny.
That is funny.
Incredibly funny, because she definitely left hungry. Like, so I thoroughly enjoyed that story. And like, now I think I spent a good 12 minutes on that topic.
Maybe he had to leave and she stayed.
No. She said she definitely left. Okay. And I invite them on stage and I talk to them for a little bit and I have a good time with them. It's basically therapy at 150 Rand, but I do not have that degree in psychology. So, you may not, you can don't take my advice. Yeah.
You can tell. I wanna. We've got some readouts, so please read us a little bit to advertiser.
We've got some news from the mark.
Tell us more about the pretty sportsman you like there, Roy.
No, pretty woman.
What do you think about Robert Firmino there?
Roberto, yeah. I love Roberto.
Ah, there we go.
I love Roberto because it's Liverpool.
Brazil.
So, Simi.
Yes.
Don't you find that embarrassing people in the crowd makes them laugh?
I don't necessarily, so I never frame it as embarrassing a person. So even at the end of my shows, I do a massive roundup where I thank the person, because a lot of people do leave comedy shows feeling embarrassed, like the comedian has only picked on them. And I find it a bit disingenuous on the comedian to not actually pull it back a bit and say, hey, thank you for making the show, because that's what sometimes happens. So like, if I speak to 5 to 10 people, depending how good the night is, I thank them at the end of it. I do it while the musician is playing, or if I don't have a musician, I thank them, but I do it in a very good way. So I say, let's say, if for example I picked on you, Roy, I said, and there's a man who does not come from this country, you know, he does not think Serena Williams is attractive, and you know, the audience will laugh at, because they understand the joke from earlier on, and I say, please give a round of applause for Roy, and then so you feel like, okay, cool, I'm not embarrassed, I'm part of the team.
Oh, for sure.
And I think that's a very important
That's the one thing. When you pick up on person is one thing, but I found that when you talk about things that embarrass people, like in a crowd, you talk about sexual things that people do in the bedroom. Everybody can relate themselves into your story.
Well, and that's where wrong comedian.
You know, Shimi?
Yes, Moshe.
The problem is that not everybody knows how to accept sarcastic.
Yes.
You know,
sarcasm.
Yeah, but then Moshe, but then you shouldn't go to a comedy show. No.
Well, some people get offended.
People are going not to be sarcastic.
I don't understand.
Because hear some jokes and some material, then suddenly somebody is being very sarcastic. They don't know how to.
Yeah, but when you go to a comedy show, you need to keep an open mind.
You're absolutely right.
You can't take everything seriously. Otherwise, you like.
You're right. If you come with an open mind, there are some people who come just to listen to it and don't bother me. You understand?
But you see, as a performing artist, you realize very quickly the people that will talk and the people that won't talk. And I know a non-talker from just the response of like, hey, how are you? And they're very short and fine. And you'll be like, okay, this person doesn't want to share anything with me. And I'll find someone else. You'll always, in a room that seats 100, 180 people, you will find someone who wants to talk. They've come there, they're waiting for you to go, what's your name? And they're like, I'm ready to speak.
You know, it's interesting you say that, because all the comedians we've had, and we've had everyone from Nick Rabinowitz, to all the Goliaths and, you know, others, and they all say that they...
The banks, we've got...
Yes, yeah, right. They look at the audience, they see who's vulnerable, they see who's open, and then they start playing. Then they say, what's your name? Your name's John. Hi, John. And they come back.
Yeah.
And that's obviously a sort of...
I've got a bald friend.
Yeah.
I always book him in the front.
Oh, that's perfect.
That's like perfect. Everybody... Says,
that's perfect. Does he like to speak, though?
You not see, really. If
he doesn't like to speak, I don't like to talk to them. It's a very... Because the people that don't speak... They tend to find something offensive along the line.
I used to really go to, I love comedy. For me, it's an hour and a half that takes you away.
From your problems.
Not problems, from your daily life.
Yeah,
it's something that's worth 150
bucks. Roy,
if
you come to my show and the show goes well, it certainly won't be an hour and a half. You are speaking to the one guy who has no concept of time when he's having fun. Yeah, when I performed in the Baxter in March and they started flashing me at about 2 hours. Wow. And I was like, what's going on? And they're like, I think people are tired. And then I asked the audience, are you guys tired? And everyone's like, no. And I was like, okay, but if you want to leave, there's the door. I've got your money already. You've got
the time. You don't wear a wristwatch.
So yeah, I don't. I don't know how to tell time. Yeah, yeah.
Unless you look at your cell phone.
Yep, and that doesn't work for me either because when I go on stage, I switch everything off.
And you don't have a buzzer to say two hours, three hours, four hours.
Generally, the only reason I finished that show is because my friend jumped up and I was like, Aisha, where are you going? She's like, oh, the babysitter leaves soon. Oh. And I was like, what time is it now? She's like, it's 10:45. I said, okay, well, if my friend's going, then I don't want to be on stage anymore. And I stopped. If a show is going really badly, that hour and a half becomes an hour.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
when I know how to tell time.
It's like, a hard slog.
Yeah,
but let me tell you, really, really, for me, and for my audience, you guys must try. I mean, being on a comedy show, it's laughing, it's nice, getting involved. It's not like watching comedy on TV. Yeah. It's not the same. I mean, the guy is alive next to you. I mean, he reacts to what you say. He reacts to your laughs. He reacts to everything.
And also a crowd, right? To watch, it's like watching sports. It's like anything. When you do something in a crowd, it gives you much more purpose.
It's elevated.
Exactly.
The comedians always say, I'm not on television. I can hear you. I can see you.
Oh, yeah. If someone speaks to my show, I get really, really offended. It's the one thing that's really...
If they talk on a show.
Yeah, if they're talking while I'm speaking.
Terrible.
Can you see them like Googling and
yes.
things?
Well, you know, sometimes like they're speaking to their friends and stuff and I'm just like, yo, it's only an hour that you have to keep quiet for. You know, we do this on planes.
You know,
we do this in elevators.
Maybe it's the right time to pick on them.
No, that's when I do pick on a person then, but I'm just like, I find it incredibly rude because I've worked on this thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's a big problem. I find it all the time. When I go to a general theater, I see previews, so they're just the critics. But when you go to a general preview, like I went the other night, Roy, Teen Spirit, and the whole row in front of us, there were young children almost, young adults, on their phones all the time.
It's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. So it's lit up. And how can you focus?
So I'm trying to do this new thing because I've seen a lot of international acts do it. They've got these special cell phone pouches. So when you go into the theater, you have to put your cell phone inside the pouch. And because of the pouch, it doesn't receive anything.
That's a
you see?
Really good idea.
Yeah.
No, hey, what you can do, you can actually mask the area
enough.
As well.
Yeah,
make
you
it,
can. Yeah.
Funny enough, you're saying this, you know. Never mind comedy, but in a restaurant in America, there's a restaurant. You walk in, you give the telephone.
Yeah.
Away, there's no telephone while you're having a meal at this
kind of thing. Yeah, but that's Moshe. That's one restaurant. There's a lot of other restaurants. You don't need to go to this one.
And so but people are always saying, they go like, oh, what if there's an emergency? And I'd be like, okay, cool. Well, if that person died, well, at least you still had a chicken curry, you know?
Yeah. And a laugh.
And a laugh. So you came out of the show happy and then you looked at your phone.
And then you said,
so
you had a high and then you got a low.
Yeah. And like, trust me, if you're in my show and you got the phone call that someone is about to leave this earth, you could do nothing. You are far away.
Before you step on stage, is there any nervous energy? Do you do anything, any routine? We always ask guys before they go on stage.
So I'm not generally... I'm only nervous for the first laugh, but after that I'm fine. But I don't have like a specific routine. What I do like doing is that I spend my day, the day I'm performing, I become very busy. I try to do a lot of things. Like I'm gonna go back home, hang with my dad, eat a bagel, go to the shops, buy some building stuff because we're constructing our house. You know, I'll go to do a couple of other interviews. I go cut my hair, and then it eats away at time. And then around about 6 o'clock or so, I'll make my way to the theater. And I won't sit backstage. I'll do a lot of other things. I play games on my phone, so I'll go play games on my phone, and then I'll wait for someone to say, yo, it's about 5 minutes before you go on. And then cool, then I walk to the back, and then I like to time it so that I walk on stage as soon as I'm as soon as I'm in the theater.
Do you have your self-announcement? Do you have
I don't like having self-announcements anymore. I just think they've become very grandiose and no reason for it. So what I like to do is a very quick announcement, and it's generally the person that opens for me. They will be like, please welcome on stage Sami Arif.
Do you have someone opening?
Her name is Waylene Vukas. She's incredibly funny. It's good to see more women doing stand-up comedy.
Yeah.
So she opened for me in Cape Town. I had a long lineup in Cape Town because there's a lot of good acts that they don't get enough time. And so I always tell people, if you want time to improve your comedy, by all means, come to my show. You can have up to 10 minutes and you can have fun and you can sit backstage. You can tell me what food you want. And
do you look for new talent? Are you there to encourage new?
I don't necessarily go to the clubs a lot, so I can't necessarily look for new talent. But any person that sends me a message and asks for help, I'll give them all the time in the world.
This is noble. I have a problem with that. I do believe the same thing. You know, many people come to me and say, can you help us open a pawn shop? And I said to them, you know what? Many people think, what? Me? I'm going to help you. I mean, you're going to be my competition. Never. Always promote. Always help other people. The world is round.
Yeah.
It comes back to you.
Yeah, that's how what I feel as well. It does come back to you.
And I'm like, I'm a non-believer, but I'm telling you now, there's certain things that work for you.
Yeah.
When you're good, good things happen to good people. I don't know why. I don't know where. Maybe it's karma. I don't call it karma. I don't know. But when you help... Many people come to me and say, please help us open a pawn shop. And I did help them. And I don't know why. It always works for me.
Yeah. So
do that. Continue doing that. Help new people.
I do it all the time.
And it's good for your soul.
Because I remember when I was younger and I was in this thing, I would die for any stage time. And all the people that said yes to me, I hardly had anybody say no to me. And that helped with my journey and growing on stage.
Exactly.
So that's the reason why I don't say no. And I tell them to go have fun. There's literally nothing. They didn't have to organize the crowd. They didn't have to organize the theater. They didn't have to organize the sound. They can literally just pitch up and do this thing that they like. And then they can sit backstage, and if they had a bad set, they can wait, and we can talk about it afterwards. So as long as there's environments like that, I think people will always thrive, especially if they want to learn.
More than that, for you as a youngster, my recommendation is help other people. Cause, first of all, you help promoting your own business.
Mm-hmm.
You help promote the whole business. But secondly is it gives you something when you give something for free.
Mm-hmm.
It gives you as a person something that it's like a feeling of, you know what, you're better than anybody else in you and confidence. And I don't know. It's just when you give money to charity, it gives you something.
Well, all the proceeds of my show are going to charity. I'm not earning a single cent from it.
Meaning you're rich.
No, I'm just, you know, we have a lot of big problems in the country with regards to gender-based violence and femicide. Mm-hmm. And I was in Cape Town performing at a gig that was near the post office where that girl was murdered.
Oh, wow.
I was on stage then, and what I didn't enjoy is that none of the acts were actually speaking about what was going on. And I feel as an artist, especially as someone that I inspire to be like a Peter Duck Ace. And I was like, no one is talking about this. So this I was speaking crazy about it. And then I also thought of that moment. There's no reason. You know, the problem is that we don't have a lot of people educating people about these topics. So I've teamed up with a group called Femme Projects, and they're getting every single cent because they run these workshops that educate people about gender-based violence issues and gender issues and sexual health rights issues and all of these things from a young age. So we will make better people in society later on.
So you've got to start from there, from the ground.
And that's the reason why I want people to come to the shows, because
I'm coming to your show tonight. Let me tell you that. And I invite everyone here to make an effort and come to the theater on the square.
Especially Friday and Saturday, because tickets are moving slowly. And I was telling the guys off air earlier.
I'm sure they're going to buy a lot of tickets.
I hope so, because I don't want to get to these people and say, yo, here's 2,000 rand for you. I want to give them the most amount of money I can give them. So yeah, so that's the most important
thing. And all proceeds go to charity. Yeah. So look what a nice guy. And we're going to, the last stretch of the show, we've got a few minutes, and I'm going to do...
We got a couple of tickets to give away on the movie soon.
All right, but let's wait with this, because we've got the schedule as well to do. Yeah, so we're going to maybe give the tickets next week, or we're going to try just now. So this is
The Hustle with Roy Peretz.
And that's going to be something amazing, a song that I haven't played for quite a while. Gilbert O'Sullivan.
This is The Hustle with Roy Peretz.
And we're back for the last stretch of our show. We've got a few minutes to go. We're here with Simi RF, that tonight's going to perform at the theater on the square, the Otten General Theater on the square. It's a lovely theater run by a beautiful lady called Daphne. And, yeah, Sammy.
Yes.
Your last words.
Okay, cool. So tickets are available for Friday and Saturday night. Tonight is a media night, so of course I'll get to see all my media friends there. I don't know who they are.
Me.
But okay, that's good. I'll get to see Roy there. Roy, please bring presents from the pawn shop if you can. I'd love to see them.
What presents do you
know. I've always, Roy?
Motor car?
I always see your shop when I drive down Jan's Mas, and I've never been
You always
been
see
in.
My shop and you haven't been there. That's already a very bad mark.
I'm very scared because I can't park anywhere. That's why I'm scared.
Just parking by me.
I don't want to park there, right?
By me?
Yeah,
inside the shop.
I feel my car will get stolen.
By me?
I don't know.
It's Hyde Park.
That's the problem, right? They've got a big sign that says hijack zone there,
no,
right?
Does it?
Yeah, by the center.
Depends what car you're driving. You know, they're very particular in Hyde Park.
I'm driving a Datsun.
Oh, that's nice.
But yeah, so tickets are available. Compi ticket, they're 150 Rand. Go there, buy the tickets.
Rand.
Every single cent goes to charity. I just want to have people on seats so they can see this incredibly funny show I've written, and I can have a good time on stage. And afterwards, I can go across and eat some food. Maybe my friend Leo will be there, and I can go to 96th Avenue, and he'll supply the
96
food.
96 Centre Drive.
Yeah,
96 Centre Drive.
And then I'll go over there, and then maybe Peter will come, and Peter will write a great review, and Moshe will be there, and we can talk about soccer afterwards, and we're going to have a good time.
That's my dream night.
And we're all back home in bed. By 11:30 maximum.
By 11?
Yes.
11?
Greatest thing, yes.
Yeah.
11:30.
Yeah, 11:30. Yeah.
That's an early night.
Time.
That's as long as Moshi is the one that's the designated driver.
Oh, Moshi.
No, I don't think so.
Oh, no.
Moshi, we call him Water. So meaning, why? Because he only drinks water.
Oh, what a guy.
I promise you.
What a guy. Water. What a guy. Moshi, you're the type of guy I need to go out with more. your system must be clean.
And he dances salsa.
You dance salsa, Moshi?
You can't walk, but he can dance. How's that work?
How does that work?
I must blow my own trumpet. I'm a very good dancer.
Believe it, yeah.
If you come to the show tonight, I'm bringing you on stage to see.
You're very flexible if you can blow your own trumpet. I wish.
Guys.
So let me just end that off with the show's called Love and Other Jokes. Compi tickets. Please go and buy tickets. I can't wait to see you guys there.
You know what? I can't wait to see you. I think it's going to be a great show.
Thank you so much.
I'm actually sure it's going to be a great show. And I'll tell you something. We're going to just now end the show before Craig's going to kill us. So we're just going to put that one. I don't know if you remember that one.
Killing us.
Where's that? Why doesn't it play? It should play.
If it doesn't play, just play Neil Diamond. I said.
Do you like Neil Diamond?
I love Neil Diamond.
Really?
Neil Diamond's the greatest singer-songwriter of all time. I love him.
Awesome. Love on the road.
Ain't no big surprise.
You know, there's a few things I must say about Neil Diamond. Yeah. I mean, the world is split to half and half. Half people hate him, and half people love him. I love him. No, really,
him.
I do.
He's the greatest. He's hard to swallow, but when I was a youngster, my father sat me and watched me, and we watched The Jazz Singer.
Yeah.
And I love him. How can you not love him?
He was in South Africa. He gave a fantastic show about 5 years ago.
Yeah. It was amazing.
He was amazing. He played the FNB Stadium to a packed house, and
he still had it. He says, how can you not love him? Let me tell you something about my girlfriend. You know, everybody loved my girlfriend. Everybody, but my wife.
He did 8 versions of Sweet Caroline. He did 8 different versions
really?
On the night. Yeah. He just stretched it out.
Listen, they're going to kick us out of here. So guys, thank you for being with us.
Chag Sameach.
Chag Sameach. Have a lekker new year. So what can I say?
This is The Hustle with Roy Peretz.
And I want to thank you for being with us, and we're going to say goodbye with this heavy rock.